Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy, as always, to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And listen, let's take the Word of God today and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 24, actually, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to look at one verse of Scripture from that passage, and we'll be looking at several Scriptures over in the book of Revelation, chapters 6 through 18. Hey, I want you to know something today, friend. We're living in a strange time. If you agree with that, say amen. And I'm going to share a message with you that I believe God has laid on my heart several days ago. It's been stirring my heart to preach something like this. Just a few weeks ago, I preached a message titled, The Question, here it is this a precursor? Well, I can see so many things, so many possibilities with what's happening in the world today. The decisions that have been made, the way the economy has changed, just how nations have shut down, the fear-mongering, I mean the power of the media. Hey, I could go on and on and on. And today for this message, friend, I'm just going to simply look at the Word of God as God has laid this on my heart. In the book of Matthew chapter 24, listen to what the Word of God says in verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. I'm going to talk to you for a little while today about this thought. I'm going to talk to you about something worse than COVID-19. Something worse than COVID-19. Now, as I was preparing for this message this morning, I went online and I looked at the statistics of cases that have been diagnosed and deaths that have been associated with that worldwide. To what I saw online today on the internet, worldwide there have been 2,096,585 cases. There have been a total of 135,662 deaths. To narrow it down here in the United States, there have been a total of 644,348 cases diagnosed with 28,554 deaths. Here in our state of West Virginia, there have been 718,000 cases diagnosed and 12 deaths. Look, friend, you know it. I know it. We're dealing with a pandemic. I mean, at this hour, friend, at least, things are trending in the right way. Things seem to be improving. But I'll tell you what, friend, listen, there's a danger here without a doubt. But listen to what I'm going to say. Listen to what God has laid on my heart. There is something worse coming than COVID-19. What an opportunity. What an opportunity, friend, to warn you, to put out a warning for you, sir, for you, ma'am, to flee the wrath that's going to come. And I don't believe it's going to be very long off. Now look, let me say a few things about Matthew chapter 24 for just a moment of time before we run to the book of Revelation chapter 6 through 18. Matthew chapter 24 is a grand prophetic word from Jesus Christ. It answers some questions that His apostles asked Him as they were sitting on Mount Olivet looking across the Kedron Valley over into the city of Jerusalem. And they said, look, Lord, look at this. Look at this wonderful temple. And Jesus said, I want to tell you something. You see all those buildings? There's going to come a day that not one stone will be left upon another. And they asked Him, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be signs of Thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus proceeded to tell them what would happen. Let me highlight something really quick as I go on in this message. Look, if you will, At verse 7, it said, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. I just wanted to highlight that word pestilence. Friend, listen. This COVID-19 is bad. It's dangerous. It's an invisible enemy as far as the naked eye goes. It seems to spread rapidly, multiply rapidly, and maybe even change. I'm not a botanist. I don't understand a lot of things about the cellular world or that microscopic world. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Every death, every home that this has invaded, it has been a tragedy to them. And how true it is, I'm not going to diminish that. I'm not going to lessen that. It is absolutely sad. I just heard this past Saturday of a young 25-year-old man from Logan, West Virginia. I'm dying as a cause of this. And how my heart went out to his mother, his family, that community, all friend. Listen, can I tell you, there's something worse than COVID-19. Oh, look, Jesus was warning here in Matthew 25. He was telling what was going to come and how people could recognize it. I'm going to tell you something, friend. The fact that Israel is a nation once again is important. The fact that Jerusalem has been regained as the capital city of the nation of Israel is important. I'm telling you, friend, I don't know about you, but it looks like to me Jesus is ready to come. I could go on and on and on. Talking about Russia, talking about the coalition of the Arab nations that are assembling with Russia. I could tell you about the prophecies of Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 38, Ezekiel 39. But oh, listen, friend, God hasn't led me that way. But He has led me to warn you if you're lost and undone. If you've never had your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, you might wear a mask here. You might even be wearing gloves. You might use as much hand sanitizer and soap and water as you can to clean your hands. But listen, sir, ma'am, you need something, someone to clean your soul. I'm warning you today. Listen, friend. Listen, I'm warning you. By the grace of God, because of the love of God, I'm warning you, friend. You're talking about a pandemic that'll enrapture the world. Oh, I'm telling you, it's coming one day. It's coming. Look, as I begin to think about this text passage, it deals with what is known as in the Word of God, and prophetic students or students of the Word of God that understand some degree of prophecy will understand this. It's related to the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord is a long period of time. It's not a 24-hour period, but it is an extended period of time that begins with the snatching away of the church, with the calling out of the church, with what we call the rapture of the church. And then, friend, when that happens, there's going to be an onset of a 7-year period of time. Jesus referred to it here in Matthew 24, verse 21, as the tribulation. Other writers like Daniel refer to it as His 70th week of prophecy. Jeremiah 30 verses 6 and 7, I believe it is, talks about it being the time of Jacob's trouble, when the nation of Israel is reborn, when it is birthed, bless God, in a new way by the grace of Almighty God. And I want you to know this period of time, this 7-year period of time is described to some frightening degree in the book of the Revelation, beginning at chapter 6 on down through chapter 19. And that's what we're going to look at in some degree today. There's so much to be said. There's so much to be said. Listen, friend, we ought to be praying for our lost loved ones. We ought to be praying for our family, our friends, our neighbors, and even those who would consider themselves enemies to us. Look, one of the associate pastors and I were texting this morning, and I said, "Hey, brother, this is going to change. This is going to change knocking on doors. This is going to change how we seek to win the lost, how we seek to do a personal confrontation or evangelism. It's going to change, but God will have a way to reach those that are lost and undone." And listen, sir, ma'am, if right now you're listening to this old country preacher, there's a semblance of trembling in your soul. If there's a semblance of fearing God and standing before Him lost in judgment, and one of these days, if I were you, I'd humble myself, I'd bow my head, bless God, I'd say, "God, I'm a sinner, save me from the wrath that is to come." Listen, people are frightened right now, and I believe they've got right to be. But oh, look, friend, there's something more frightening in degree that's going to come, and I'm afraid it's not going to be long off. Now listen, in chapter 6 through 19 of the book of the Revelation, there's a series of events that are recorded there that are actually divine judgments. Divine judgments. Friend, listen, God's still in control. God's on the throne. This is my Father's world. Listen, those judgments will make this current COVID-19 pandemic look like a walk in the park in comparison. Now listen, what I'm going to say, don't misunderstand me, I am not minimizing this. I am not minimizing this. My heart is broken over all of those men and women and boys and girls, those 28,000 or 135,000 plus deaths throughout the world, and many of them, actually all of them, I do not know personally, but I tell you what I do know. They're souls that went into eternity. There are souls that went into eternity. And look, all of us are going that way. We're all going to an eternity. And we must decide in this world, on this side of the grave, where in eternity we will be. So look, friend, though in comparison it seems like a walk in the park, this COVID-19. Listen, there's something so frightening, it ought to cause the back hair on the back of your head to stand up, cause you, bless God, to have those chill bumps show up. Hey, friend, it ought to put a trembling in our hearts and in our spirit. We ought to run to God and say, "Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner, for lost in a look." At the opening of the first seal in Revelation 6 and 1, the Word of God says this, "And I saw when the Lamb," I like that, "when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the voice of thunders of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" Listen, three times I could show you really quickly, and there are more than that, that thunder and lightning are connected with this period of time. You know what thunders and lightnings are a picture of, or an indicator of, don't you? Hey, there's a storm coming. Bless God, I'll tell you, there's a storm coming one day after the church of Jesus Christ that He purchased with His blood, empowered by His Spirit, entrusted with His Word, is snatched out of this place. Literally, friend, all hell's going to break loose on planet Earth. And where are you going to be, sir? Where are you going to be, man? I want you to know, with this first seal opening, with the opening of this first seal by the one that's in control, by the way, He's the Lamb. Hallelujah. He's the Lamb that's in control. Things begin to go downhill. They compound one upon another. And I want you to know something, friend. It won't get any better from that point on until the King, hallelujah, I'm about to get happy. I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which is going to rule and reign here for 1,000 years, returns. I want you to know something, friend. I want you to know it keeps getting worse. For instance, there's a natural downward progression in these chapter 6 through 19 of the book of the Revelation. For instance, the seven seal judgments will result in the setting on of the seven trumpet judgments that we find mentioned here in chapter 8 of the book of the Revelation, where John said, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of an hour." Oh, I'll tell you, of a half an hour, excuse me. Man, that's frightening. I'm telling you what, it always gets, seemingly to me, still before the big storm comes. Hey, listen, when the sixth seal, seventh seal is open, it doesn't bring things to an end. It just puts it to another level, brings it to another degree. Where, listen, when the seventh seal is open, it opens up, bless God, the coming or the introduction of the seven trumpets that are going to sound, that are going to bring in a great storm of divine judgment greater than had previously been known. Look, if you will, in chapter 11, verse 19, and listen to what the Word of God says about these trumpets, about the seventh one, especially in the latter part of verse 19. It says, "And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail." Listen, friend, this follows the third woe that was pronounced upon planet Earth. And just to simply briefly mention it, that's found in chapter 12. Bless God, when Satan himself is kicked out of heaven, and the angel says, "Woe is the inhabitants of the earth, for the enemy of the brother is cast down." And he knows he's got a short time, and he comes with great wrath. Let me read it instead of just explain it. "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto them, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Listen, friend, if I were you, I'd run to Jesus right now. Listen, that third woe that's going to come upon planet Earth, listen, it is the presence, the visible, manifest, incarnate manifestation of Satan himself. And look, it'll be part of the pouring out of God's divine wrath in full measures, as we find the seven vials, the seven bowl judgments began to be poured out in chapter 15, verse 1. And he said, "I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." How frightening. Now look, friend, they're plagues. Look at verses 6 and 7. Go along with verse 1. "And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in purple and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven vials, full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever." Listen, they're plagues. They're coming. Please listen, folks. Please take note of these things. Take note of God's Word. God's Word always come true. His prophecies are accurate, if you will. Matter of fact, the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 17, the latter part of it says this, "And calleth those things that be not as though they were." Now look for this message. I'm just going to highlight some things, some amazing things that we find in chapter 6 through 19. And what I'm about to declare to you is in my opinion frightening. And listen, I've said it before, I must say it again. Please take this as a warning. That's what it is. Oh, sinner friend. Oh, sinner friend. Flee the wrath to come. Now look in chapter 6, I'm going back there. At the opening of the seven sealed judgment, we find in verses 3 and 4 that it brings war. I mean, the red horse rider had power to take peace from the earth. If you read on down in verses 5 and 6, you'll see that naturally, as the morning follows the night, famine shows up. He said in verse 6, "A measure of wheat for a penny." And then, if you read in verse 7 and 8, you'll see a pale horse rider. And one day follows another, death follows famine. And he said, listen, "He that sat upon that fourth horse was death, hell followed." He had the power to kill. Now watch this. 1/4 part of the earth. He had to kill him with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. Isn't that amazing? 1/4 of the world's population, which is now presently near 2 billion people for simple math. Do you know what 1/4 of a billion people removed is? That's right. It's 2 billion people. We ought to be concerned with the 135,662 deaths in America. We ought to especially be concerned about those in America and those here in West Virginia. But can you imagine the pandemic of God's judgment falling upon planet Earth to where 2 billion people die in a short span of time? Listen, Revelation 6-19 covers 7 years, 7 years period of time. Listen, things are going to be so bad in that time. Look at verses 15 and 16 of chapter 6 of the Revelation. The kings and of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty and every bondman, every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said in the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Oh, how frightening. Look again at chapter 8, verse 1. And when He had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven by the space of a half an hour. It just brings in the trumpet judgment we find there in chapter that follows in chapter 9, verses 1 and 8. We find that the trumpet judgments began. And oh, what a frightening sight. What a frightening sight that is. Verse 2 says that an angel in verse 1 comes down, opens the bottomless pit, and there rose the smoke out of the pit, and it's as of a furnace. The sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the air. And you know what comes out of there? Strange creatures. Strange kind of locusts. They come, and you know what they're given the power to do? To hurt men in such a way that according to verses 5 and 6, they'll desire to die. They'll desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And according to the Word of God, this is the first of 3 woes. Can you imagine wanting to die? Being in so much pain. Even gnawing your tongue. Wanting to die, and you'll not be able to die. Look at verses 13 and 14 in the same chapter 9 of the book of the Revelation. The sixth angel sounded. I heard a voice from the four horns of the altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are in the great river Euphrates. And out of them come an army, a 2 million soldier army. Isn't that amazing? Hey, listen. Hey, look. Here again, the population is going to be reduced by another third. Now listen, if we're using plain mathematics, simple terms, almost 8 billion people in the world today, if it's reduced the first time by 1/4, that brings it down to 6 billion. And if here it's reduced by a third, even I can figure this, it brings it down to 4 billion. Do you know what that means? In a short span of time, 4 billion people, because of God's judgment upon planet Earth, that's half of our current world population, will disappear. They'll go into eternity. Wow, listen. Listen, folks, please listen. Please listen to this old preacher. And listen to how men who have rejected a holy God and His Son who brought salvation to lost mankind will reject a God, will react to this. Their hearts will be so hard instead of repenting and calling on God for mercy. Listen to what they'll do. Their nature is so depraved. Listen to what they'll do according to verses 20 and 21 of chapter 9. And the rest of the men. Verse 18 says, by those that were released out of the Euphrates River, that 2 million army, he said, there was, by these three, there was the third part of men killed by the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth. Now watch this. You'd think people would run to God and repent. And the rest of the men which were living, now it's unsaid, but that's what it meant, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. And they sought and that they should worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Oh, friend, listen, what a sad day that will be, but it gets worse. In chapter 16, we see the introduction. We see the introduction of the seven vials, of the seven bowls, if you will, of the wrath of Almighty God being poured out without measure. You think about that. You think about it being poured out without measure. And look at what it says in verse 9. Well, I'm going to read verse 8 with it. He says, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the earth, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire." Now you'd think they'd want to get out of the fire, and the men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Look at verse 21 of the same chapter 16. There's going to be, when the seventh vial is opened, there's going to be poured out of heaven, bless God, another judgment. There's going to be a great earthquake, and it's going to be mighty. I mean to tell you, it's going to divide things. And he said in verse 21, "There fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." Can you imagine seeing hailstones 120 pounds falling upon planet earth? And instead of looking to heaven repenting, they blaspheme the God of heaven. Listen, friend, I want to say this in closing. Look, there's an amazing event that took place in chapter 12. I mentioned it of this revelation, chapter 12 and 13. When Satan was kicked out of heaven, came down to set up his unholy trinity, he'll do it in power, he'll do it by deception, and he'll take control. Listen, if you think getting toilet paper is bad, listen to this one. It says this in verse 16 and 17 of 13. "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their hand, a right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name." Hey, listen. If you think you're going to get by, you won't. Look, you don't have to be here when that happens. There's so much more to say. Just my time's out. There's just so much to say, but you don't have to be here when that happens. All you got to do right now, today, at this moment, is realize you're a sinner. By faith, repent of your sin and receive Christ as your Savior. Go to God and say, "I'm a sinner." Go to God and say, "Have mercy on me. Oh God, save me," before it's everlasting too late. And if you'll go to God, if you'll go to Him sincerely, if you'll go to Him repenting of your sins, if you'll go to Him believing when He died at Calvary, He died for you, He'll save you today. Oh Father, I pray right now that you'll convict men of their sins. I pray and believe that during this message, they felt the touch of God. They've had the fear of God stir in their heart, the dread of eternity. Now, I pray that they would sense the calling of God, that Spirit wooing them to You and a place of repentance. God, You'd save, You said, anybody to call on You. May men and women do that now. May they call upon the name of Jesus. May they believe that You have raised Jesus from the dead, and the Bible said by that they can be saved. I love You. I praise You, glorify You, and I thank You for this privilege. It's in the name of Your Son I pray. Amen.